In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Jesus knew why he was here. The first couple weeks here now, it's all been from Mark chapter 1, and this ongoing repetition of not just calling his disciples, but then he's busy healing people, casting out demons, setting people back on path over and over. And we have that again today. And we have Jesus even going to Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I guess you could say it's a good thing to have Jesus as your master, because then your family gets taken care of. But he took care of other families too. But he did not take care of all. Right? There were plenty of folks who could have been healed but weren't, because Jesus knew what his primary purpose was. His primary purpose. He came to preach. Right? He went to the synagogue to preach, and he goes to other towns to preach, because it's the message that the kingdom of God has come near. That's the main point of his coming. Doing miracles is a great thing, but that's not his primary thing. So early in the morning, he goes outside of town. Why? Not to get away from the crowds, but to pray. Now, he needed some separation in order to pray, but the primary point was that he wanted to be in conversation with the Heavenly Father. Now, why would Jesus need to pray? I mean, he's the Son of God. Isn't it kind of like talking to yourself? Kinda. But Jesus, true God, and Jesus, true man, had this need to be in conversation with his Heavenly Father in order to be restored, to be regenerated, reinvigorated. Right? He needed to be in conversation because that's where he drew his strength. And is it any less for us? Right? We come together to worship, to pray, and our Sunday prayer and our daily prayer have interconnection, is where we draw our strength, because it's easy for us to get sidetracked off on some other tangent. It says, Simon Peter came out to Jesus and said, everybody's looking for you. Right? Everybody's looking for you. Because, well, they weren't sure where he was at. They kind of lost track. Sometimes we forget just what we are about, what we're doing. It said these three sisters, elderly sisters, were living together, and one night one of them says, well, I'm going to go upstairs and take a bath. And she gets upstairs and sticks one foot in. Now, am I getting in or getting out? She couldn't remember. So she called down to her sisters, am I getting in or getting out of the bathtub? One of them says, you darn fool, better go up and help her out. Goes up the stairs halfway and stops. Am I going up the stairs or going down the stairs? I can't remember. Calls down to the third one, what am I doing? She says, doggone those sisters. Oh, I'll be right back. I got to see who's at the door. We lose track of what we are doing, because there's so many things going on in our life, so many things going on in our head, we just lose track. Right? What am I doing? Sometimes we have to go back into the same room and hoping that maybe there still are some vibes going around that reminds us what I'm doing. Simon Peter says, everybody's looking for you. And whenever somebody says that, I always think, yeah, they may be, but it's really you. When he says, everybody's looking for you, I'm looking for, Jesus, where are you at? Because I need you. I need you for my life. And when we lose track, right, when we get off base, who's going to bring us back? We know Jesus does. And so we need to always be in contact, in relationship to him, because without him, well, we just don't know where we're going. And so Simon Peter is asking on behalf of the crowds, but he's asking on behalf of himself too. Right? Where are you? What would we want from Jesus? Why are we here in relationship to him? What is it we want from him? Well, a lot of things. He is a miracle worker, and there are plenty of miracles we'd like to have resolved. Right? Maybe Jesus could come and do that. That somehow what's going on could just be reversed. Jesus is a miracle worker. Is that what we're really hoping for from him? Jesus is a healer. Is it that we want Jesus to heal us or folks close to us? Is that the primary purpose, what we can get there? Maybe we want Jesus to be the great peacemaker. Lord knows we need plenty of peace in our world that is just becoming more and more chaotic. Right? We want peace in the world, but we want peace in our lives. On many mornings, little folks gather around a table and they're drinking coffee and they're solving the world's problems. Well, at least they think so. Try to. But we know we need something more than just our conversation around a coffee cup. Is that where we want Jesus to come and just finally set all these things at peace? Or maybe just have him be our private chef, you know? He multiplied loaves and fish. Maybe he could just do that for us. Remember, that's why he had to leave after he fed all those folks. He had to leave because they wanted to make him into a bread king, somebody that could just solve all those problems. Why are we here? What is it that we are looking for? Sometimes we want those items, but we sometimes forget the purpose of Christ's coming was to preach the gospel, to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. We must be going to these other towns, he said, because that is why I came, to preach. All the rest of those things, which are good, right? Jesus bringing peace into our lives, Jesus healing diseases, right? Jesus performing miracles, those were good things, but we have to always remember they are in support of his preaching, not to replace it. The message that God has broken into our world. He must do that. When we read from the epistle reading, St. Paul said the same thing, right? I have to preach, right? Woe to me if I don't. It's been laid upon me. I must. And we would say the same thing was true for Isaiah. He had to proclaim. How does he start? Haven't you heard? Don't you remember? And so he has to remind them again. And we need to be reminded again and again. There's nothing new about that. We know the source of life, but we need to be reminded of that. We know what's really important, even though all the rest of the things around us claim importance on our lives. We do know the one who is central, but we need to be reminded of that again and again. And that's why he comes. He speaks directly to you. I am your Lord. You are my people. I love you and care for you. I forgive you your sins. I set you back on the right path. I feed you with my own body and blood. Jesus proclaims directly to you. A word that we can get no other place. A hope that cannot be filled any other place. The reason we keep looking at other situations is because we know there's this gnawing inside that says, I might enjoy this or I might enjoy that or it might take care of another thing, but it never quite satisfies. It never quite fills. Remember St. Augustine. Our souls are not at rest until they rest in you, O Lord. And we know that to be true. And he comes again and again, reinforces it, speaks those words again, in a way that we want to hear and need to hear. And when we do, it's altogether different. How did Isaiah say it? They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come to the Lord where there is fullness of His grace, where He fills your life beyond comparison, gives you a purpose, a future, and a hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.